good morning, Sunrise Church family. Whether you're watching from Sacramento, a foreign country if you're a missionary, or just someone around the world, or even my parents in Texas who are watching, we're so glad you've joined us this week. It's been about a month and a half since we were in this exact spot, and that's why I chose to film here today from the church to say good morning to you, and we miss you. And the whole entire church staff has been praying for you specifically as we go throughout the weeks. We meet and just talk through that. I want to give you guys a couple quick announcements before we get into worship and a message from Pastor Luke about what's going on this week. And so first, Mondays at 10 o'clock, we have the Backshed Bible Study with Pastor Cliff, always with a special guest on there. So make sure you join in. It's always encouraging to see what they have to talk about. And there's always some really good truth bombs that they drop in there. So if you've been needing something to fill you up, I encourage you to go there as well. On Wednesdays, we have Pastors Live at 2 o'clock with our whole entire pastoral team, where we get to have some fun hanging out, and you guys get to see what the pastoral team has been up to lately, as well as we get to see what you guys have been up to in the Facebook chat bar. Whether it be a comment on Greg's hair, Luke's hair, or my hair getting long, we get it. It's the sign of the times, man. But we're so glad you join us on there, and so we can interact with you a little bit more, and you guys get to see an inside look of what our lives look like in this time as well. And so make sure you join in there Wednesdays at 2 o'clock to ask questions, put some comments or ways that we can serve you there as well. We'd love to see you there. Thursdays, we have the Luke Miller podcast that comes out. And right now they've been going through a series on prayer. So we invite you to join in there if that's something that seems interesting to you, as well as we just get to hear from Luke once again. So we encourage you to join in Thursdays for the Luke Miller podcast that's hosted on our website. So join us there. Also, middle school has been doing Zoom calls at 6:30 at night on Wednesday nights. This is a way for your student to get connected and join us for a youth group service style Zoom. We have a message, we have worship, we have just hangout time, and we have a fun game. Your student might have been seen running around the house or raiding your refrigerator for some of those games. So make sure you have your students join us on Wednesdays at 6:30 for a fun time on Zoom. I'm looking at you. Don't miss out. It's a lot of fun. We want to give you guys three ways that we can receive your tithes and offerings. We appreciate them, and this is made possible because of them. So we encourage you, and we thank you in advance for what you guys, your generosity and how it's impacted us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and Lord bless you in that. The first way we want to give you in that is checks. You can send a check via snail mail, if you will, to the church office, and we can receive it there. The second way is online at sunrisecommunity.church/give, or you can text Sunrise CC to the number 77977. We thank you so much for that. We'll pray for those in a minute. But first, I just want to encourage you by looking at the environment behind me. This is the rooted room of the college ministry at our church. It meets in the upstairs part of our office space. And right now, this is where we normally meet for our staff meetings. And our staff meetings and pastors meetings here, they happen, and this room looks barren. You can't see behind me on the camera, but it's barren. I'm the only one in here. It's dark. I've got lights on so you can see me. But the church seems empty, but what I'm encouraged by and what I want to encourage you with is that the church may be empty, but the church is still moving and active, whether it be Sunrise or the global church. So many people are getting to see the gospel via YouTube, Facebook, because of you sharing the streams. And so what we want to do is remind you, on the bottom left corner of your screen, there's a share button. Click share and send that on your Facebook page, or share the YouTube link or the Vimeo link so that people can see this message. If this impacts you, we want you to get involved and make sure that you can invite your friends to church that way. So make sure you do that. I'll pray for this morning's tithes and offerings, and we'll get ready for a service. God, we thank you for what we're doing and what you're doing in our lives, God. Whether it be at a coffee shop or a drive-through restaurant right now, God, that you are moving and you use us to reach those people that we come in contact with. And so, God, we want to thank you for what this offering that we're receiving does, and that somehow you take all things for the good of yourself and glorify it, God. And so these times may seem hard, they may seem rough, but you are moving and active and working in our lives, in our communities, in our state, in our governments, and that you are doing something new. And so would we take this offering this morning? Would you bless it? Would you do what only you can do? And God, would you remind us of how you're working, God? It's your name we pray. Amen.
He died. me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome to Sunrise. I'm glad that you are able to join us this morning. My name is Luke. I am one of the pastors here at Sunrise, and I'm glad you're able to join us online or for wherever you may be joining us from, whether it's your kitchen table, the couch, you're listening to this later on the road. However it is, we're glad that you're able to join us. And I'm especially excited because we are starting a new series this week. A series that it has that word that I think a lot of us have been waiting to hear, restart. Now, I thought the perfect book for this, and I've been looking forward to this, and I even teased it a bit a couple weeks ago when I was saying, I love the minor prophets, and every year I like to give one or two minor prophets a little bit of a study in their own series just because I feel bad because we don't talk about them often, aside from maybe Jonah. But I wanted to tease that out a little bit for what we're learning and what series we're starting this week. We're going to be going through a 6 or 7 week series on Haggai. And it's all about life getting restarted in the time of Israel. And we're going to talk a bit more about that. And I thought this would be a good series for us because the context is not that much different when we really look at it. And we've got a lot of questions about what restarting is going to look like for us in a world that is going to look different for quite a little bit. It's going to look different from where we last remembered. When we return to church, it's not going to look at first exactly the way it was because there's going to be all sorts of different restrictions and things that we have to follow. However, I'm sure most of us are ready to say it's time to restart. So let's take a look at Haggai. And yes, let me just say right from the very beginning, that is how you pronounce it, Haggai. All right? If you're wanting to think about it in a different way, or not a different way, or want to know how to pronounce it, you just think that horses need hay, and the person who gives the hay to the horses is the Haggai. And you've got Haggai, I know. I'll be here all series, so just buckle up. There's going to be a lot more of those jokes in the coming weeks. So let's jump into it. We're going to start at the beginning, a very good place to start. When you start in the alphabet, you begin with ABC. When you start counting, you begin with 1, 2, 3. And when you start to sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi. I'm sure someone out there must love that Sound of Music quote. I'm afraid to acknowledge that I knew that off by memory and did not have to look that up. But let's take a look at Haggai. We're taking a look at chapter 1. If you're looking for Haggai, it's right between Zechariah and Zephaniah. If you look in your Bible and you see Matthew, just hang left 3 books, and there he is, Haggai. And so what I want to do is we're just going to start into this very brief verses 1 through 4, take a look at what it means for us today, and what restarting starts to look like in the time of Haggai and for the people of Israel. And I think that this book is going to give us such a great template for what it looks like for us going forward. All right? And so let's read through it now, verses 1 through 4 this week, and we're going to continue verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this book. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the 6th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to build the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. It is time for you yourselves to be living, or is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Let me give a brief history of this. I'm going to start from almost the very beginning. And so we can understand exactly what landed us and landed Haggai in this position where God is working through him to deliver a message to the people. Over the course of this, we're going to see that there's also several different excuses that these people end up giving so that they don't have to finish what God had called them to finish. So let's take a look at a bit of a history. And we're going to start at the close to the beginning. Take a look at Abraham. He was from a pagan country and he was promised a place and a people by God. He and his wife gave birth to a son named Isaac. He became the father of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Then we get to Exodus, and we find out that they ended up living in slavery in Egypt for 400 years until Moses led them out. And God gave his people instruction for how to worship him in a portable worship center called the tabernacle. And then we see that they re-enter the land that God, or they enter the land that God had promised, and there were three kings. We have Saul, we have David, and we have Solomon. David wanted to build a permanent worship structure that would give honor to God. But that honor was ended up given to his son Solomon, who constructed a magnificent temple to God. It was the centerpiece of the nation. It was the focal point of worship for all of Israel. But then things went downhill from there. Because of disobedience, the Assyrians conquered Israel, and the northern tribes were scattered and became known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Even though the southern tribes saw this happen, they continued to rebel after watching their northern counterparts get sent off into exile. Many years later, the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem. They decimated the temple. They deported all the Jews to what is now modern-day Iraq. And many of God's prophets had predicted that this captivity would come, but it would not destroy the nation itself. Years later, the people of Israel were allowed to return. And we see this with the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. And they were sent to encourage the people to finish the project of the temple. In fact, we see before that Ezra and Nehemiah were sent to restore the walls of Jerusalem and start to rebuild and start to rally. So now we find ourselves kind of up to date, so to speak, of where we are in this book. We take a look at this, and the word exile refers to a time that Judah was in Babylon as punishment for their faithlessness. The message is clear. It's time to finish what was started by putting things first, by putting God first. And his style of Haggai is very simple. It's very direct. It's very straight to the point. He doesn't mix words by any means. 16 years have passed, and Haggai arrives on the scene to deliver four small sermons, believe it or not, four brief sermons. I know it sounds like a contradiction, but or an oxymoron, but it's not. He delivers these four small sermons, and the message is clear. It's time to finish what we started, what God has called you to do. Let's take a look at verse 1, right from the very beginning. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The title, the Lord, refers to God as a covenant keeper. God who keeps his covenant, God who keeps his promises. It's an instant reminder that despite all the things that have been going on, God is there and God is still with them. We see that this is a term that prophets often use because the prophets are often delivering a word of God. And Haggai's a little different because often, or for most of the prophets, we see that they're giving this message of, if you do this and continue to do this, you will be in exile. But now we have the people who've returned, and this is a motivational speech, four motivational speeches that Haggai is about to give. And this isn't a speech like when we turn on TV and it's like, I want to see, you know, I want to unleash the power of you and I want you to unlock your inner self and all of these things, right? This is a word from the Lord. This is a message of God saying, here's what you need to do. Again, it is very direct, and Haggai does not mix words. In the second verse of the book, Haggai lets loose. This is what the Lord Almighty says about their excuses. These are not Haggai suggestions, but words of God that are being given. The name of God, Jehovah Sabaoth, which is a reference to him as the high commander of heaven's armies. This isn't just God saying, here are a few suggestions that I want you to have. This is saying the Lord of heaven's armies delivers this word to you. It's used over 270 times in the Bible and 14 times alone in this short book. God wants to exert and remind them of who he is, the power he has, but also the promises that he has given. It's meant to reference both personal, both present, both powerful, and this ultimate promise keeper that God is. And so we find ourselves with this message that says, move ahead. It's time to go forward. It's time to stop the excuses. And verse 2 says, these people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. By referring to them as these people and not my people, God was indicating that they were not acting like the people that he was supposed to, or that they were supposed to. He's indicating that the people of Israel had done nothing and had 16 years that they had done nothing. And it's this direct reference of, hey, you haven't been doing what I called you to do. Now this morning, I want you to understand that for us, this is all about getting restarted. And yes, the context of where we live looks different. No doubt for the people who are now in Israel and tasked with rebuilding the temple, it looked a lot different, and Jerusalem looked a whole lot different from when they left to go to Babylon in exile. But that doesn't mean that God's plan stopped. God's mission was still the same, to build his temple. And for us, things may look different than what they did 3 months ago. But that doesn't mean the mission of God has changed. In fact, the mission of God is still very prevalent. And while we say in Haggai that is to build the temple, I want to challenge us this morning that it is to build his kingdom. That we are called to be kingdom builders. That we are called to be ones that minister to those around us. And yeah, life may look different and things may look different, but the kingdom of God is still growing and we are very much a part of that great plan. The question is, are you willing to join along? Now, we can all make excuses, can't we? I know we can make excuses. I know I can make excuses for anything. I want to take the road with least resistance. I want to take the easiest way. Over the last little while, and parents, you may get this, maybe more than the kids, but kids, you may get this as well, is over the last little while, I've been running I've been teaching, we'll call it teaching in italics, but we've turned our lobby of where I've been working up here into really a classroom. It's where Ari and Levy have been working in their classroom, and every day I give them a list of things that they need to do. And we get into the church at around 9 o'clock, and we get things set up, and I give them the list, and they know that on Monday, this is the things that you need to do. On Tuesday, these are the things that you need to do. Wednesday, and so on. And it's probably about 3 hours of solid work that they need to do. But never fail, at around 9:30, one of them will come into my office and be like, done. And I'm like, what do you mean you're done? That doesn't make sense. Like, I know how much work you were supposed to do, and I know how much work you did and how long we've been in the church for, so I know you couldn't have completed that. I'm done. Well, let me see. And sure enough, I'll open up a math textbook and see the exercises that need to get done, and the first two pages will get done, and then there'll be two pages that haven't been done at all. Then the next two pages after those get done, and I say, what's going on? Well, I didn't want to do those ones. You mean you didn't want to do those ones? That's part of what you were called to do. Kids, I know this hasn't happened to anybody or any of you who are sitting on couches right now watching this. And parents, I'm sure this has not happened to you at all over the last 2 months. Maybe this is just only my own context, but I hope it at least serves as a good sermon illustration for what's going on here in Haggai. They arrived back, and the first thing they said is, let's build our houses. Let's find homes for ourselves. And then once they did that, they're, you know, maybe we'll throw in a garden. Maybe we'll do this and do that and make sure things are all fixed up. And now God is saying, what have you been doing for 16 years? This is a very long, extreme home makeover that's going on. You've arrived back, and sure, your houses were destroyed, but it doesn't take 16 years to build them. Well, my house is in shambles. The center for everything of who you are, your center for worship, the temple, hasn't been touched or built. Remember the magnificent glory that it was? It's time to get started. It's time to get going. This is the message that's happening here. It's this message and this challenge that says it's time for us to get going, to continue to build God's kingdom. Now, I know that over this last little while, we've had all sorts of different ways in which God has given us different opportunities to serve. He's given us different opportunities in which we're able to meet with our neighbors or help our neighbors at a distance. And yet at the same time, we find ourselves in a point where it becomes very difficult for us to move beyond that small circle, and things are going to change, aren't they? What is that going to look like as we get restarted? What is worship going to look like as we get restarted? We may have had more time to read our Bible. We may have had more time to pray. We may have had more time to disciple our own family. And those things all continue as we now look beyond the walls of our small circle and start to break out even further to see where God is calling us to restart and where God is calling us to rise up and build. I love the graphic of our series here, which has that sunrise logo almost rising up over the landscape of Sacramento. It's a call for us to look at our city and say, it is time to build God's kingdom. It is time to rise up and reach those who are calling out for hope, for those who've been looking for hope. This is where we're called to be. This is what we're called to do. The God's mission has not changed. In Haggai, it's saying, it's time to build my temple. For us, we're being told, it's time to build God's kingdom. I love this. We can make all sorts of excuses that we want. Whether it's for church, whether it's for studying the Bible. We can say, I've had a bad experience at church. We can say that my kids' sports schedules are too busy. We can say that I want to wait a little while to get connected into a small group. We can say even that, you know what, I'm retired and I want to take it easy for a little bit. And that's all right. Trust me, I want to come alongside you as you start to golf. But aside from that, I want you to know that there is no retirement for a Christ follower. There is no retirement for us as missionaries on God's mission. It's time to go. And now the context is going to look different, but it is time to go. We need to prioritize. In this, we prioritize God, and we look at verses 3 and 4, and we say, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It is a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house of God remains in ruin. You don't catch the contrast between this desolate temple and the houses that they were living in. The word being here and these paneled houses are not that paneling that we may have in our basements or anything like that. The paneling that they talk about here in the paneled houses was fancy, ornate oak and cedar, like wainscoting. It was something that was used for the kings and the palaces. So it's saying, you're living in your own little palaces while the temple where you worship is still in ruin. How can they say that it's not the right time after God has moved a pagan king in Babylon? now with the Persian Empire to allow them to go back and build his house. Evidence of God working is there all over the place. They'd stopped doing the chief work that they had been commissioned to do. And I want us to be challenged with this, with the great commission that Jesus gives to go and make disciples. This is very much an echo. Jesus' statement in Matthew is very much an echo of Haggai and his call by God to get building. We need to prioritize. We need to get back into it. And no doubt, you probably look around your neighborhood, and there's actually a little bit of similarity to this, isn't there? Our yards probably look better than they ever have because we've all been at home having family fun days and getting people to do the work in our yard. But now, even with the ministry in our little circle where we've been in, it's trying to look beyond these walls. It's time for us to realize the same message of Haggai. It's time to prioritize God. And as we go, as we start into this new season of restarting, we have to build on the spiritual disciplines that we've been working on over the last little while, whether it's been praying or reading our Bible or whatever it looks like, or whatever we've been doing. We have to build on that and expand our circle. God is doing something great. God has a great plan, and we have to be willing to go. I love the picture of this. I love the graphic of this series, of the sunrise logo rising up over the cityscape of Sacramento, realizing that it's time for us to restart, and that is going to look like something completely new, yet the mission has not changed. The landscape may look different, but God's mission has not changed. Truly, the sun is rising on a new season for both us as church, as a church, and as individuals, because God is doing something. It's time for us to continue to build his kingdom. We need to prioritize. We need to build. I hope you're ready for this. I hope you are ready for a time where we get to build God's kingdom. I hope you are ready to take those relationships that you've built from that small circle of maybe just a few of your neighbors and invite them to church. Allow them to experience what it's like to be a Christ follower. Allow them to share in the joy and the hope that you share, that you know that can be found in Christ. And although we don't know when we're going to be able to meet in person as a church, we know that we are still gathering online. We know that we are moving forward and we are getting ourselves ready for when we are back together, we're going to hit the ground running. I hope you're ready. I'm so excited for this series. And again, it's not just because I'm the one preaching it, or it's not just because I love the Old Testament. It is because I just love this book. And I can't wait to just hear God giving these motivational speeches to his people about what it looks like to restart. The message is the same to us as it was to them. They'd been waiting 16 years for a message like this. We've been waiting 3 or 4 months. So imagine how excited they were. And I want us just to hit the ground running. Right out of the starting gates. Seeing God's kingdom grow. And I want you to join us as we do that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you that even at a distance, we're still able to gather. We thank you that you've given us this book of Haggai where we can gather together and we can read about how you are calling us to be better people. You're calling us to be a better church. You're calling us to build your kingdom. And God, give us courage. Allow us to be warriors of evangelism. Allow us to be prayer warriors. Allow us to be warriors for you as we share with others. As we get restarted, God, I just pray that we hit the ground running. that we've got ideas, that we've got things that we want to do, that we've got people that we want to share with. God, you're doing something great, even in the midst of chaos. And we are so thankful that we get to participate with you on this great plan. So give us courage. Give us wisdom as we think about this. And God, we can't wait to see your kingdom grow. We pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's so great that you're able to come alongside us, even at a distance, as we gather online. If you've got questions about Jesus, you've got questions about Sunrise, you've got questions about where God is calling us as a church, I want you to contact us. And we've got that website probably up on the screen or down below where it's just www.sunrise.church. And there's a connect card right there, and we'd love for you to reach out. If you're new, send us a message that says, hey, I'm new, I've been watching this, and I love what you're doing, or I've got some questions about what you're doing. We'd love to hear from you and start to connect with you. It's time to get restarted. This week, we've got all of our usual online things that are happening, starting tomorrow with the Backshed Bible Study. And Pastor Cliff is going to be doing that. On Wednesday, we got our pastors live. This is a great way for us to connect, and you get to see what's going on in the life of our own ministries and the different pastors in their ministries, and see how we're still at work despite all of this, that God is really doing some amazing things, and be part of that conversation. And then on Thursday, we're going to continue in our podcast that I'm doing. We've been looking at prayer. Last week, we looked at praying with boldness and what that looks like, and we're going to continue along those lines this week. Join us online. Let's start connecting. Let's get restarted. Sunrise, we'll see you next week. And when you start to sing, you begin with do, re, mi. I'm sure someone out there must love that Sound of Music quote.